Thou wert so rich and strong of yore, Amaskeg, old Amaskeg. Thy size the world ne'er saw before, Amaskeg, old Amaskeg.
By the early 1900s, the Amaskeg Mill was earning its reputation as the textile capital of the world. There may have been other cities that produced more cloth, but none had a mill that compared to Manchester's.
No other single textile factory in the world had 17,000 workers, and it had around 30 buildings at one time, and it was turning out cloth of 50 miles per hour.
Robert Perot is a Manchester-based historian and author of the book Vivre la Différence, Franco-American Life and Culture in Manchester, New Hampshire.
They would say from Manchester to Boston, or 600 miles a day in a 12-hour day. And so you've got production, you've got people, and you've got space. In fact, there's a photograph that you see at the Manchester Historic Association's Mill Yard Museum that shows one day's production. And it's this gigantic room with all these bolts of cloth just stacked up. It's just amazing to see. 600 miles a day.
Cooperation wins the day. Amaskeg, old Amaskeg. Thy sons and daughters with their might will keep thine emblem ever bright.
The people who were running the machines that made the cloth were immigrants. And as more arrived, the talk in these mills began to sound different. By 1916, 28 languages were said to be spoken in the mills along the Merrimack River. New Hampshire historian Stu Wallace.
Amaskeg manufacturing used to actually seek diversity. The story was they sought diversity because they wanted to cut down the possibilities of unionization. Well, regardless of what was on their motive, you had a diverse population. They often divided different rooms into different ethnic groups. So you might have Lithuanians in one place, Russians in another, Poles in another, Italians in another. You actually had ethnic groups themselves, not the foremen. The foremen would be English, Irish, and only by the very end of the 19th century do we start getting some Franco-American foremen.
As Amaskeg grew, it also diversified. The company was gaining a reputation for its linens and winning international awards for its textiles. Amaskeg needed workers with skills that could only be found overseas. So once again, the mills looked to Europe.
The undersigned hereby agree to engage as gingham or check loom weavers with the Amaskeg Manufacturing Company of Manchester, New Hampshire, United States of America, for the period of 12 calendar months, to commence and be computed from the 15th day of June 1868 years, and promise to do their work well and faithfully and to the best of their abilities, working the regular hours at the rate of payment current in the factory, doing the same type of work.
Ezekiel Straw, who was the agent for the whole company, he was a very visionary kind of guy.
Aurora Eaton is executive director of the Manchester Historical Society.
He wanted his company to be able to produce gingham cloth. Now, gingham is something that needs people who are dye masters to dye yarns all different colors, and then they would weave them into plaids and checks, and really nobody in the United States was doing it. So he went off to England and Scotland in particular and bought the machinery and actually had his people go out and recruit people who were the dye masters and who were the weavers who knew how to weave on the special loom. So they would actually come over here on a boat with the equipment and the chemicals to do all this gingham weaving. So there was this influx.
One of the recruits was the father of Tommy Smith, who came over to Manchester from Glasgow, Scotland in 1894. Tommy recounts his father's story in the book Amaskeg, Life and Work in an American Factory City.
In Scotland and England, they had advertised in the newspapers and put out flyers about the wonderful opportunities for weavers, spinners, and dyers in this country. The advertisements they put up were like circus posters. Wonderful conditions at Amaskeg in Manchester, New Hampshire. They showed a man just coming out of the mill yard with a wallet in his hand full of money, and he was going to the bank. Things like that induced people to leave.
Machinists from Germany were brought over, as were Swedes renowned for their fine lace making. Outside the mills, men from the Belgian cigar trade were brought to the 724 Cigar Company in Manchester, while Italian stonecutters were convinced to come to the Granite State and travel to its far north to help build mills in a new mill town called Berlin, New Hampshire. For New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Keith Shields.